Good morning. Even though it's cold outside and we're done with the warm weather, it's still a beautiful day to come and gather together to worship and to have fellowship. It's a big blessing, huge blessing that we have today. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the Strongest Man's competition. It's a sight to see. I mean, these guys lifting these heavy rocks, whatever. I've seen some of them pull huge airplanes. And I remember sitting back and thinking, it's amazing what men and women as well can pull and push with their strength. It's truly amazing. Eddie Hall, one of the strongest men, he has since retired. He holds the record for the deadlift, and it was over 1,000 pounds that he picked up, which is truly amazing, the strength that you must have to do something like that. But here's my question: how many of these men do you think could carry that weight continuously throughout a day? They wouldn't last too long, because the weight of 1,000 pounds would crush them. It would blow out their knees. It would blow out their backs. They would be a mess if they tried to carry something like that every day. How heavy do you think sin is, the burden of sin? People daily continue to carry that burden around, and they are crushed under that pressure. Sin can lead one to destruction. Sin can destroy not only the spirit, not only the soul, but it can destroy someone physically and mentally as well. Depression rates are high, especially during this year. Anxiety, worry, it's up. That's what sin does. That's what sin is. It causes terror. It causes chaos. It causes so much, and people carry that burden daily. And they wonder why their life is a mess. Their spiritual life is a mess. How heavy is sin? Well, the burden is too great. And as we will see, starting with Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, and he said, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." So the first burden that we must carry is understanding that we are defiled. We are unclean. You look at kids, especially little boys, they hate taking baths. I remember I hated it too. As a kid, you get dirty, filthy. You don't want to take a bath. I don't know why. I can't remember. It's been too long. But when you get dirty, when you become unclean, you become smelly. Who here is a big fan of Charlie Brown? We've been watching, we watched Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, and we'll watch Charlie Brown's Christmas. But there's one character on there, and you'll see him, he has dirt and flies going all around him. He's filthy. I can't remember the character's name, but he's filthy. And when one becomes defiled spiritually, their soul is dirty. Their soul can no longer, is contaminated. And God can no longer be a part of that individual because they have been defiled. Sin separates us from God. That's a great burden to carry, isn't it? Knowing that because we are defiled, we can no longer have a relationship with God. It's not what goes in. When Christ speaks about this in Mark chapter 7, the Jews held under the old law, they were not to eat certain things, but Christ says, it's not what goes in that defiles man, it's what comes out. And we see him name sins here that many at that time were committing. And today we see a lot of these sins being committed, defiling many. And so here's the one of the burdens that sin carries along with it is defilement, contamination, being dirty spiritually. The next one in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen nor known him. Lawlessness. We have laws in the United States that protects us. God's laws were there to protect his people. But with sin, there is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Can you imagine if there were no laws in this land? How chaotic, how violent, how terrible it would be. Men and women being able to do what they want to do, it would not be a great place to live, would it? You see those old Western movies with John Wayne and all the greats, and you see in the Wild West, they depicted the Wild West as this lawless land where gunfights happen, robberies, and that's what it would be like if there were no laws put in place to protect people. Sin is chaos. It's chaotic. There is no order to sin. When you begin one sin, it leads to many other sins, and that's how it works. When we look at alcohol, drugs, you know, it could start off as simply as one drink, or to start off as marijuana, but then it could lead an individual down a path that is no good. They become addicted. They can't overcome it. They can't have enough of it. And that's what sin is. It's lawless. When one is in sin, they cannot be controlled. They are doing their own thing. They're doing what they want. God, they are no longer subject under God. They are now part of a world that is chaotic. They're part of sin. Who wants that? That's a great burden to carry. Sin is lawlessness. In John chapter 8, verses 34 through 35, here's another burden that sin carries. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." A slave of sin. I would rather be a slave of God, because I know who God is. He's a loving, forgiving, merciful Father, Master, who takes care of us. His instructions, his words here in Scripture are to guide us to a better life. I often say, let's take God out of the picture for a second. If there was no God, would this still be a wonderful book to obey by? Yeah, absolutely it would be. It teaches us to love one another. It teaches us to have unity. It teaches us how to conduct ourselves, to respect others, to do the right thing, to honor mother and father. Don't lie. So we see this is a great book to follow. It helps us be a better man and woman in society. But now we know there is a God. He is, and he's always been, and he always will be. These laws that we live, this new covenant that we live under, is there to protect us and guide us through life, to help us conduct ourselves in such a holy manner, a pleasing manner to God. Being a slave to sin is not a good thing. Once again, talking about addiction, addiction's a terrible thing. You take something and you cannot have enough. You keep wanting it and needing it. And a lot of these substances, whether drugs, alcohol, tobacco, whatever it may be, people are addicted to it. They cannot live without it. And it's a sad reality. People have become slaves of sin. They carry this burden which they cannot get rid of themselves. They need help. They need guidance. It's a sad reality when we look at sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'm not going to name off this whole list, but Paul here to Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And he lists men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We see this list, but at the end, we see that Timothy was to turn away from such people. These individuals have become slaves of sin. They are no longer subject to God's law. This is our world. This is the world then. This is our world now. We see people who have sin in their life. This is who they are. I have met many men and women who fit this list and the other list mentioned by Paul to all the other churches. This is our world. Does this sound like a pleasant world to live in? Does this sound like something we want to be a part of as Christians? No. Sin holds so many burdens. It's heavy. It's too heavy. It's too great to hold. And we get crushed. So many get crushed by the weight of sin. It causes depression. Causes anxiety. It even causes death. And that's the greatest burden of them all. When we go to our main text in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, what we have to realize is that through one man, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Who was that man? Adam. Sin entered the world through one man, and that was Adam. And death spread to all, because all sinned. Paul covers earlier in Romans chapter 3 by concluding with both the Gentiles and Jews, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so all will die, all will face spiritual death, but we must understand there is an answer to all that, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I saw a picture on Facebook. It had this man playing with this little lion cub. And that lion cub represented sin in its most simplest form. But then we see in the next picture a full-grown lion eating the man, killing him. That is what happens when sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. That is the greatest burden of sin. And it's not physical death. Absolutely. We know we will face physical death. We know we will pass on from this life. Now, if Christ comes back, we know that we will be, in a twinkling of an eye, changed. But we see here, sin brings forth spiritual death. Yet so many hold on to sin like it means so much to them. It's all they want. It's their own desire. They're enticed. We just talked about Ananias and Sapphira this morning. They were enticed by their own desire. They gave in to it and lied about what they had given. And what was the result? Death. Immediate death. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and Paul gives this list, you have adultery, you have fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, all these sins. This is the result of it. Just as I told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul to the Corinthians said the same thing. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. As Christians, we are now heirs to the kingdom of God. But we can lose that inheritance. And it is through sin. When one falls back into sin, they are now separated from God. They are no longer heirs of that inheritance. Now, can you gain it back? Absolutely, by coming forth and repenting of your sins and changing your mind. But for those who are lost, you must come to Christ in order to have your sins washed away, to be able to become heirs, to inherit the kingdom of God. This is the greatest burden, death, spiritual death, in which you will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's left? Eternal punishment. That's the results of sin, is an eternal punishment. Hell is a place we do not want to go. It shouldn't be. But many choose, and I have heard so many in interviews talk about, I would rather go to hell than serve God. And it's sad that people would rather choose a place of eternal punishment than to serve God, to humble themselves and obey Him. And so what's the answer on how to get rid of this burden? You know, you think about weightlifting. It's smart, and let me tell you, it's very smart to have spotters. Someone behind, if you can't get it up, someone to lift it off of you. I have seen so many videos where people have tried to lift heavy weight. Bad things happen. It's not pretty either when you see what happens. They need help. So do we. And what is the answer to that? Well, when we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ is the answer to that burden, to have it gone. That's the answer. But yet many reject Christ today. We have a society that has a problem with authority, and it has seeped into the church. I have talked to a couple of preachers who have an authority problem. Imagine that. Christians have an authority problem. They don't want to be told what to do. If you cannot submit to your own husband, if you can't submit to the governing authorities here on earth, you're not going to submit to God's law. You're not going to submit to Him. And that's what He calls us to do, is submit to Him, obey Him. Because God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful. He knows what's best for us. If you put a bowl of spinach and a bowl of ice cream in front of a child, and you tell them, hey, you can choose, you know what they're going to choose. You may be shocked, but I highly doubt it. They're going to choose the ice cream. And you know, as a parent, as a father, as a mother, that ice cream's not good for them if they eat it every day. They need to have spinach. They need to eat healthy. God has given us free will to choose sin or Christ, life or death or life. And guess what? Many choose death over life. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He sent His only Son, something that has been promised from the Old Testament to the New. He has promised throughout the ages that His Son, He was going to send His Son down here to die. Because His Son's blood was the only blood that could wash away, take away our sins. He was the only sacrifice that could do so. God is faithful. God does love you. But He does not tolerate sin, for He is a holy God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins to his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I've heard many say, well, you know, I still drink, I still smoke, I still do things I shouldn't, so I need to make sure I'm right before I come to God. You can't make yourself right before you come to God. You can't. That's why his son came and died. But this, we must understand, when you come to Christ and you fully embrace that way of living, you will want nothing to do with your former life. You will want nothing to do with sin. You will strive every day to live right, and you will get rid of the things and rid of the people who pull you down. If you truly love Christ and you truly desire him, you will put away the sins. Because when we look, might live for righteousness. Not everyone who comes and receives forgiveness of sins and have their sins washed away live for righteousness. They don't. Many still choose and try to live for the world and God, and it doesn't work. And so what happens? They leave. They reject the truth and they go back into the world. They leave the church. They leave the faith. It doesn't always happen. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. But once again, we have that way now to get rid of this burden that we have, that we deal with daily. And that is through Jesus Christ. You cannot help yourself. That's why Christ calls us to come to him. All who are weary and heavy laden, come to me for rest. You cannot get rid of your sin. You cannot get right before you come to Christ. And so what keeps you? Come to Christ. Give him everything. Let him in your life. Put him at the center of your life, and you will not regret that decision. And this is how you do it. First, we must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then we must believe, John 3:16. Then we must repent, change one's mind, Acts 2:38. Then we must confess our faith, Romans 10:10. And then we must be baptized for the remission of sins, Galatians 3:26 through 27. And then we must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. This is how we come to know Christ and invite him into our life. There is no other way to get to heaven. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to heaven except through Christ. Embrace him this day, those who are lost. Embrace him fully. Live for him every single day and remain faithful. And you have brothers and sisters here this morning who will help you, who will guide you, who will encourage you and lift you up. Or if you are a Christian, you've fallen back into sin, understand you are now lost and you must come forward and repent and renew your walk with Christ. If you're here this morning, you need any assistance, I pray that you come while we stand and while we sing.